so good, you'll want to set two presets. Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Inflation isn't budging. Consumer prices 3.5% higher than they were a year ago. That number higher than expected. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze has more on what things are costing all of us more these days.
Food prices didn't go up by as much last month, but they are still high. Housing prices continue to go up. Rent was one of the big reasons why prices were significantly higher, or higher than expected in this report. Same thing goes with gas prices. We've been seeing those ticking up over the past month.
Wall Street worried about future interest rates hikes or lack of them. Dow down this hour 383 points. Longtime Trump Organization Chief Financial Officer Alan Weisselberg has been sentenced to 5 months behind bars for perjury. He lied under oath during Donald Trump's civil fraud trial. Women in Arizona still trying to figure out how they will navigate the new normal for abortion in their state. The Supreme Court there upholding a 160-year-old law that says almost all abortions are illegal. This is ABC News. Two Native American tribes are now suing social media companies over high rates of suicides among young people. The tribes, one based in North Dakota, the other in Wisconsin, blame what they call addictive features in platforms like Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. 25 years after a tradition turned to disaster at Texas A&M, there is a new push to officially bring it back. In November of 1999, a 60-foot stack of logs used for the school's annual bonfire collapsed.
11 students and an alum died in that disaster, but those who survived were adamant.
It's just a tradition that should not stop because of one tragedy.
Since 2012, an unsanctioned off-campus bonfire has been built and burned, but now a member of the Board of Regents has broached the idea of returning it to campus. Supervised by professional engineers, John Bellinger says it would be safer than the student-run bonfire. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
And Delta Airlines says there's no slowing down travel demand. It just reported its highest first quarter revenue in the company history. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Tad Ehlen. Custody hold has been extended for a Milwaukee man called a person of interest in the discovery of body parts.
It all started with a severed human leg found in a Cudahy Park early last week. Since then, several more body parts have turned up in the area. The family of a missing 19-year-old Milwaukee woman is fearing the worst, although no official identification has been made. The person of interest is 33-year-old Maxwell Anderson, who has been in custody since last week. On Tuesday, prosecutors asked for an additional 72-hour hold as they await results from the state crime lab. The request was granted. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Tuesday evening, the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office said someone at the Cudahy Park came across two items authorities believe may be related to their investigation connected to the leg found last week. A 6-year-old boy who died from a fire in a Milwaukee duplex is identified. The Milwaukee County Medical Examiner says Rashawn Wilson III was among other children being watched at his uncle's home on the city's north side last week Tuesday. When the uncle fell asleep, the kids there reportedly threw garbage on a stove being used as a source of heat, which sparked the fire. Rashawn was in the attic of the duplex when the uncle and the other kids made it out of the burning residence. Firefighters rescued the boy and took him to a hospital. That's where he died. Eric Hovde disagrees with President Joe Biden's plan for student loan debt relief. Biden introduced it Monday in Madison. The Republican U.S. Senate candidate called it unfair for the majority of Wisconsinites.
Why is it fair for somebody who never had the opportunity to go to college has to now pick up the tab for those who are getting the student debt relief?
Hovde says it's also unfair to those who have paid off their student loan debt and those who never took student loans. Hovde is challenging Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin in November. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
How do you measure the human spirit? In pounds? In milliliters? In the distance traveled between yesterday and today? Or maybe there's no way to measure the human spirit, because as you remind us every day, it simply has no limit. Learn more about how we care for your whole body, mind, and spirit at AdventHealth.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It doesn't get much better than this. Bright and beautiful sunny skies today, with high temperatures soaring 20 degrees above our average highs, flirting with 70 degrees. Clouds will thicken tonight as spotty showers push in overnight. Even a few rumbles of thunder can't be ruled out. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Right now, 66 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Chad Ingalls and Jay Myers, directly following the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
Yeah, I think you might be confused just a touch, Davis.
Huh?
You might be confused. 410?
Truck keeping, buddy. Huh?
410 is not CB lingo.
What? It's not?
No, it's a gauge.
A gauge?
Of a shotgun, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Perhaps a gauge of a shotgun that may put Tom Turkey at ill ease?
Oh, perhaps? Yeah. Definitely. Perhaps. I'm going to try it this year. We've got a single shot that is designed specifically for turkey hunting, and I thought before we cut it loose with the grandkids, I'm going to try it.
You're going to go single shot, huh?
I'm going to go single shot 410 for turkey this year.
That's a bold move, my brother.
Thank you. So it's not, 410, good buddy. It's 410 kaboom.
I guess so. I stand corrected.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah. Oh, really good. Really good. I'm fired up today. I got a lot of irons in the fire today.
Do you?
Big doings are happening today, so I'm trying to stay focused.
Okay.
But yeah, I feel good. How about you?
Is it anything that we can talk about? Or
you know what? Let's talk about it tomorrow. We'll see how it goes, and then we'll talk about it. How's that?
You know, that's a safety right there. I like that. I respect that.
Safety
I respect
first.
That. That's right. We're going to have a conversation with Lance Honig this morning and then get to the Farmer Forum with Chad Ingalls from Iowa, Jay Myers from North Dakota. Looking forward to it.
Should be good.
All right, let's get to the news, bud.
I'm going to start with the NWS weather. Widespread severe thunderstorms have the potential to produce several tornadoes. Listen up, gang. A few of these tornadoes may be strong, EF2 or greater. And widespread damaging winds across parts of the central Gulf Coast states, heavy to excessive rainfall, may lead to flash urban, small stream, and minor to moderate river flooding across the Mid-South into portions of the Florida Panhandle. High winds along with widespread moderate to heavy rain expected to impact the entire eastern seaboard into the Great Lakes Thursday night into Friday morning. An active weather pattern ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And a transition back to the above normal temperatures. We're well on our way. It's 54 degrees and Northeast Iowa here this morning. That's already about the normal high. We're heading for close to 70 degrees today.
Awesome. Well, we've got unknown destinations to talk about again today. Private exporters reported daily sales of 254,000 metric tons of soybeans for unknown destinations. That's for the 24-25 marketing year. 2 days in a row, baby.
Yep. Keep bringing the demand. The beans need it.
Well, the annual inflation rate in the United States accelerated for a second straight month to 3.5% in March from 3.2% in February. That was above market forecasts of 3.4%. Compared to the previous month, the CPI rose 0.4%, the same as in February, but above forecasts. The index for sheltering gasoline contributed over half of the monthly increase in the index for all items. The Bureau of Labor Statistics also said on Wednesday that core inflation, which excludes changes in food and energy, remained at 3.8%. Economists expected a core rate for March of 3.7%.
Yeah, not a huge miss, but enough of a miss that makes me think that that the talk of interest rate cuts is being pushed further and further down the line.
Yep. Well, House Ag Committee Chair G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania expects that his panel will vote on a farm bill package before the end of May. Thompson told Politico he is, quote, anticipating a markup before Memorial Day, huh?
Yeah, it's moving along. I mean, the House is going to have to make the next move so that that will hopefully put some pressure on the Senate to follow suit. Although the conversation that we had with Senator Grassley on Monday, he was not very optimistic that even if a House bill does, a farm bill does pass the House, that it's going to force any action in the Senate.
Well, get this, Chip. Costco has ventured into the gold market, selling 1 ounce bars of nearly pure 24 karat gold since late summer 2023. This move coincides with a surge in gold prices, which have risen by over 13% in 2024 alone. Analysts at Wells Fargo project that Costco's revenue from these gold bars could be as high as $100 to $200 million per month, Chip, due to strong sales.
Wow, there you go. Gold from Costco and Bitcoin from ATMs. You don't even you don't even need a retirement account anymore. You can just do it all at a convenience store.
Yeah. USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service website shows bovine influenza A virus, or BIAV, I call it BHAV because it sounds sexy, was detected at two dairy farms in New Mexico. That brings the total number of confirmed BHAV cases to 20 across six states, Chip.
Yeah, did APHIS label it BIAV?
Yeah, I think they did, yeah.
Did they?
Were they the ones that came up with the name? Is that what you're asking?
They're not the ones that came up with the name. I know that. That was the bovine practitioners.
Yeah.
I've been looking for a hint that APHIS has accepted that name.
That I can't confirm. Can't confirm. Nope.
Okay. Very good. Yep. Very good. All right. Hey, we need to get over to Margie Echelkamp. Margie, what's the latest on the sustainability programs at the farm level?
Hey, good morning, Chip and everyone. I recently had a great conversation featured on the Scoop podcast with Tim Hushen. He's the sustainability and technology director at The Mill, which is a retailer based there in the Mid-Atlantic region. And they've really done a lot of the tip of the spear sustainability and carbon programs have really been on the forefront when it comes to conservation focused efforts and the emerging sustainability opportunities for growers. Now, big takeaways from my conversation with Tim were really the necessity to track everything from agronomic recommendations to fertilizer application and how those recommendations are applied out in the field. So this definitely introduces that idea of having that precision ag or data layer intact and how you can use that as the springboard for other enrollment in programs such as carbon or sustainability incentives. Now, The Mill, with Tim being the lead, have been involved in carbon programs for about 3 years. And he really shares there's been challenges at those program adoptions because of the change practice requirement. And in their geography, they've adopted a lot of practices that were qualifying. But he's pretty bullish on the new programs that are emerging and how they're trying to involve maybe some longer term adopters. Another big takeaway I would just like to share is that sustainability really has to be treated as part of the overall ag retail business. And he shares some other really great takeaways from his experience, again, available on the Scoop podcast.
All right, Margie. Excellent. Thank you so much. Appreciate that update. Margie Echelkamp, editor of the Scoop. Get more at www.thedailyscoop.com. Some changes on the survey work at NASS. We'll find out from Lance Honig acting director of the methodology division there at NASS.
Take control with Brandt and Zup Zinc. Elevate your crop's health and yield with this enzyme-based zinc solution. Designed for enhanced nutrient uptake, plant vigor, and supporting early growth. Take control of your corn and soybean yield with Brandt and Zup Zinc. Visit Brandt.co to learn more. That's Brandt.co.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our farmers' first philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
There are many reasons growers trust Stein on their operations. For starters, we're home to the industry's highest yielding genetics. But we have something else just as powerful and reliable as our products: service. With Stein, growers have the benefit of leveraging decades of knowledge from our talented agronomy and sales teams. We're ready to walk the fields with you to ensure you get the yield benefits Stein Genetics can bring to your farm. Stein Seed. Dedicated to yield. Committed to you.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
You got the Welcome back to AgriTalk. David, sorry about the confusion over the... Over the, you know, did APHIS call it AB?
Right.
Let's see. I want to go back to the news story and make sure.
BIAV.
BIAV.
Yes.
The bovine influenza A virus.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I say that, and, you know, yesterday we had a segment that was planned on this name change, and then the segment got canceled on us.
Mm-hmm.
Which indicates to me, I don't know what the status of this is, because it's as we talked about in the segment, you don't want the same virus to have two different names in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because all that will do is add to the confusion. So let's get consensus.
Mm-hmm.
On what this is, what the HPAI, the high path avian influenza virus in bovine, is going to be called.
Yep.
So.
Well, and you got to the heart of it when we were in the news this morning, and you're like, well, has APHIS accepted this term? I don't know, and I think that's there's a rub there that
we need to figure it out.
Dealing with Yep.
We need to get this figured out and get it properly labeled. Okay, Lance Honig I used to be able to call him the crops director at NASS, but there's a little bit of a different name on it now. Acting director of the methodology division and acting chair of the Agricultural Statistics Board. Lance, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, Chip. Well, you know, it's been an interesting week, so I'm just going to go with okay. How about that?
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Because in the some of the changes that were announced by NASS yesterday, Lance, these have been discussed and talked about and debated for quite some time, and all of a sudden it looks like it's going to happen. So what are the changes on the surveys? And I don't know if we need to do the whole list, but there's the some of the bigger reports that we're not going to get in 2024 from NASS that a lot of market participants and industry professionals are used to dealing with, right?
Yeah, that's right. And really, it's really three main items, right, that we can kind of boil it down to. The first, of course, is no July cattle report this year. And that's, you know, certainly a big deal to cattle producers or anybody else that's interested in cattle inventory information, getting that update in July. We know that's helpful. The second item is there's no county level crop and livestock estimates going to come out beginning with the 24 season. And then last but not least, you know, it's not really a report direct impact, but we're no longer going to be conducting the objective yield survey for cotton. And so those are really the three big things that we announced yesterday. They're pretty significant. And certainly we're not excited about having to do that, but just like anybody else that has a budget to manage, you know, you can only spend what you've got.
Right.
And so we need to be respectful of that. And that's unfortunately sometimes hard decisions like this have to be made.
Right, and they are hard decisions. I get that. There's been some harsh reaction to it. Yeah, I'm sure that you saw what came from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Said it is disingenuous for the same agency which touts its commitments to transparency in livestock markets to arbitrarily cease production of reports which provide just that. I don't think there's anything arbitrary about this decision, is there?
Well, certainly not to us. I mean, as you mentioned, we've had a lot of conversations about that internally. We scrutinized everything in as much detail as possible. And hey, you know, in a perfect world, we don't want to discontinue anything. In fact, we'd love to do more. That's what we're all about, is providing as many statistics as possible about everything related to agriculture. But the reality is we just can't do everything.
Right. Right. One other thing that NCBA did was called on USDA NASS to immediately reverse this decision and continue delivering the stated mission. Is that even a possibility that the decision could be reversed at this point?
Well, that's certainly not our intention. I mean, there's going to be a lot of conversations that happen, you know, the rest of this week and into next, I'm sure. With folks, as everybody just processes the magnitude of these changes that we have to make and work through the details. But, you know, it wasn't something we put out as a question mark yesterday. This is what we're planning to do. And so at this point in time, that's the expectation, is those items will not be happening this year.
Okay, so I know that there was a huge amount of internal conversation about the, you know, these reports and where cuts could be made or might be made. But is there any, you know, survey work to show how much and how these reports were being used in the industries?
Well, we do have some metrics, obviously, on, you know, how much the data are accessed and things of that nature. But, you know, there's a couple of things that I think is worth mentioning in terms of how do we decide, you know, what we have to do in a case like this. Well, first off, you have to remember, we didn't get our full year appropriated numbers until just a few weeks ago. And so a big chunk of our year is already gone. And so these cuts that, you know, we're trying to manage and work with, we've got a limited number of programs that are left between now and the end of the fiscal year. And so we're kind of limited from that perspective. Okay. And then one of the key components we look at as we evaluate things like this is, you know, what, as we look at some of these programs that are out there, you know, in some cases, this is all you get for an industry. And so we looked at things like this that, you know what, we understand it's painful and we don't want to make these things go away, but there are other pieces of information for cattle, for example. There are other pieces of information about acreage yield and production beyond what we published at the county level. And when it comes to cotton, we're still going to be able to publish all the same yield and production numbers that we did. We're just going to have one less input into the process. And so we're looking at ways that we can continue to serve all the different industries that we're trying to support out there. And that's a big factor that we consider in these decisions.
Right, right. Yeah, boy, Lance, the one that has raised the most questions that came my way was about the county estimates on crops, because that data was used in determining federal farm program payments, wasn't it?
Well, not as much as it used to be, Chip. And so, you know, a few years ago, from a crop insurance standpoint, our good friends and partners over at RMA have been utilizing a lot more of their own internal data to support those programs. And then, of course, we've always, you know, thought about the ARC PLC programs, and our close friends over at FSA have also been tapping into a lot more of that RMA-driven data and a lot less of the NAS data. And so we've worked closely with them to ensure that the impact won't be as extensive as a lot of folks might think from the outside looking in.
Okay, good. Now, that's good news on the farm program side and crop insurance side as well. But for the industry folks that are out there that, you know, are working at a cooperative that have their draw area and use those county estimates as a data point to plan for the year ahead, can they also tap into that RMA data?
Yeah, that's going to be a little bit trickier there. And so that, you know, this certainly does leave a hole in some of those uses. And really everything that we, you know, are talking about here leaves a hole somewhere. But the bottom line is those 450 reports that we're putting out, you know, if they weren't all useful, we wouldn't be doing them to start with. And so unfortunately, anything that we do, right, to meet the needs that we have from a budget standpoint are going to have an impact, unfortunately. And so that's the bottom line, is that, yes, it's going to leave a gap in areas where these data were used.
Yeah. Boy, Lance, what signals should industry professionals that use the NAS survey work, use the NAS data, what signals should they be taking from this decision? Because to me, it seems like if they are cutting the county estimates, or you are cutting the county estimates, that just about anything can be cut. Is that the right read here?
Well, I mean, everything's on the table, right? I mean, I think that is true. As I mentioned before, we're going to, you know, try to make the best decisions that we can. We're going to try to make sure that whatever we do continues to treat folks all across agriculture equitably. We don't want to single anybody out and remove everything that they get. We're going to be careful to kind of, you know, this probably doesn't sound right, trim around the edges, but the point is just that, you know, we're going to try not to leave anybody empty-handed, but as time goes on, if more of this continues to happen, it's only going to get more painful, right? Yeah. Because you just have to go deeper and deeper every time it happens. And hey, we get it. You know, money's tight everywhere. It's certainly not unique to NAS. We understand that, but we're a relatively small, you know, agency in the grand scheme of things. And so we run out of places to go.
Lance Honig from NAS.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Some mixed trade in the grains, but boy.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Milk markets are lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. May milk down a cent at 16.69, June down 13 to 17.19, July down 15 to 17.65, August down 2 at 17.97. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets continue to move mostly lower today, extending some of the losses here into the afternoon as the trade is seeing some lower cash markets and a lot of profit taking after recent gains. The volatility just continuing in the cattle markets. Hog markets higher in the nearby months due to some higher pork cutout values helping the nearbys. April live cattle down 67 cents to 180.02. April feeder cattle down $1.35 to $2.39.35. April hogs up 85 cents to $91.45. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets moving mostly higher. Wheat also moving up mostly higher today. A lot of positioning ahead of the upcoming WASDE report tomorrow. Soybeans mostly lower as the dry weather will help with U.S. planting in some areas of the country. The dry weather also helping the South American harvest continue, and that is also pressuring markets. May corn up 2 3/4 to 434. New crop up 1.5 to 469 3/4. May beans down 7 1/4 to 1167 1/4. New crop down 8 to 1170 1/4. Chicago wheat May up 1.5 to 559 1/4.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a micro-epoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The micro-epoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
When it comes to farming and family, the most important thing is laying down roots. Hey, it's Matthew from Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi, and we want to help you grow your roots. From planting to harvest, we can help you lay your foundation through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and great service. We know how to help because we know Bluff Country. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of strong roots in the community and the relationships we build. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Makers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us. It's Wednesday. That means that it is time for the weekly Farmer Forum, and we've got Chad Ingles from Iowa joining us. Chad, how are you today, buddy?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Doing just fine, just fine. Everything's looking pretty good in Northeast Iowa here this morning, isn't it?
It is. We've got a great day on tap. So
yes. Yep. No doubt about it. Let's remind everybody, Chad, that you are a hog farmer, row crop farmer, conservation guru up in Northeast Iowa with Cover Crops, and also a state representative representing District 68. Is that right?
Correct. Yep. Okay. District 68, which is most of Fayette County, part of Buchanan, and part of Blackhawk in Northeast Iowa.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, buddy. We'll get to some of the things that are happening in the State House here in just a second. Jay Myers up in North Dakota. Jay, welcome to the Farmer Forum. Everything okay, buddy?
Hey, I'm trying to get through this morning. I caught a head cold last night, but I'll power through it, I guess. Got to do that this time of the year.
Yeah, you do. No question. Now, You got to power through it when you're putting seed in the ground and doing stuff like that. But if you need to take off from us, you just holler on it. But Jay, you're still a director on the USB, right?
No, I got off of that a little over a year ago.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I did my 9 years and been done now.
nine years in and done. But that had to be a rewarding experience for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was, there's a lot to learn and know about the soybean industry. And at the same time, there were some crush plants coming on board up in our state, you know, which was exciting to see. And those are, one is currently operating. The other one's supposed to be receiving soybeans here July, I believe it is, this summer.
Man. Well, it's been all eyes on North Dakota when it comes to the expansion of the crush capacity for oil seeds. Jay, is it starting to change your market up there at all?
Well, I think next year it will. You know, this year everybody's kind of learning about it and they're trying to decide, you know, what they should do for varieties and soybeans. And I think it'll be more next year, you know. I think one thing that's going to have to change, you know, most of our soybeans got shipped out, you know, around harvest time. And there wasn't a whole lot stored, but there's probably going to have to be some incentives to keep soybeans around, to keep these plants running, you know, year round.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Chad, here in Northeast Iowa, there is competition between new crush facilities and the river when it comes to who's going to get ownership of beans, isn't there?
Oh, definitely, and I think in my particular location, the crush facility has generally had a better bid than the river has. So.
Yeah, yeah, hey, and you're talking about Shell Rock, right?
Correct, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Shell Rock it's not all that far from you, but it's not right next door. You're probably about evenly split going over to the river versus going to Shell Rock, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of right in the middle. It's about an hour to the river and maybe a short hour to over to Shell Rock.
Okay. All right. It's kind of a preview of what Jay should probably expect as far as that increased competition and the increased bid. But, I mean, this isn't anything new to you, Chad. You went through this when the ethanol facility started to come into Northeast Iowa, right?
Oh, definitely. The ethanol facilities boosted our bid considerably, and it's doing the same thing with the soybean crush. So more opportunities, the better for us.
Right. Fantastic. Fantastic. Jay, what are you working on up there today? What's got your attention when it comes to the 24 growing season?
Well, today we're getting our seed tenders put together for corn and soybeans that we bring seed out to the field with, and I'm going to hook up to the planters and get them out of the shed and just general stuff like that, getting stuff ready to go. And we're calving too, pretty heavy here. We're not quite half done, but that's coming hot and heavy too. So, and we just had a rainstorm on Sunday and Monday, kind of 2 days of rain, and I think it was 36 degrees when it was raining. So that wasn't pretty good for the calving.
Right, right. But what a difference a year makes, dude. A year ago, you were still moving a lot of snow around, weren't you?
Well, we were just talking about it the other day here. April 6th last year was the day the blizzard got over. It was a 3-day blizzard.
Yeah.
And we were running a snowblower a mile down to the highway trying to open up 2 feet of snow to get out. So it's a huge difference.
What a huge, unbelievable difference year to year. And you know, being downriver on the Mississippi from you guys, I do want to say I'm glad that you are not dealing with all that snow, because we would be about 10 days, not even 10 days, just short of 10 days from dealing with a flood a year ago on the Mississippi, where we went from some really low water levels coming out of winter to the second highest crest on record because of all the snow melt and how quickly the snow melted up in your part of the world. So glad to know that that is not going to be happening this year, dude. We need to get some water in the system, but we can do without the flood, that's for sure.
So I think with that rain we had, it was just enough to fill things up. Some of the tile pumps are just trickling a little bit right now, so I think we're at capacity, ready to roll.
Yep. All right. Chad, when I look at the drought monitor map, you're still in an area, or we are still in an area that has got us at exceptional drought. And the local weather guys are talking about over the next 3 months we're going to cure this drought, we're going to need 15 inches more than normal to fix the drought. It's dry out there yet, isn't it?
It is. It's super dry, and we've been living hand to mouth the last couple of years as it was.
Yeah.
And the soil profile is just sapped at this point, and we're going to need some timely rains all along through the summer, and kind of pray, I guess.
Yeah. Well, over the weekend, late last week and into Sunday, we had two events here at the house, and got 4/10 both times. I mean, we're not going to turn it down. We're going to take it, that's for sure. But we need a whole lot more than what we've gotten to make things comfortable for this planting season, right?
Oh, definitely. And over the same event, weather event, we only had about not quite 3/10. So we're going to hopefully be able to get crop in pretty easily, it looks like, unless we run into a rainy period. But then we'll certainly want to turn the spigots on and get some regular rain.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's go to this. The bill that Governor Reynolds signed into law yesterday, I think it was just yesterday, Chad, about foreign ownership of farmland. What are the details there?
So it doesn't really change anything regarding foreign ownership. It's been illegal since 1980, I think. But there, prior to that, there were foreign owners of ag land. And then as in some instances, as foreign companies purchase American companies, they may acquire some Iowa farmland. And so what the bill really does is require more transparency. So we want to know who the owners are, if it's a some type of corporation or LLC. It's a requirement now that they have to report regularly all the owners, their nationality, country of birth, address, and that includes all the way down to maybe just even an agent for a company that is representing in the state of Iowa. So looking at a lot more transparency on who owns Iowa land, and then also creates a provision for the Attorney General to go after complaints and investigate complaints of either not reporting or land maybe in hands other than what's being reported, and creates a penalty schedule as well. So,
okay. Yeah, the provisions for the Attorney General, that's the one that it kind of caught my attention there, because there are some significant, if the information is not being fully disclosed, there are some significant penalties involved in this going forward, right?
Yes, definitely. It's not just a $500 fine and go about your business. They go after them, and we want to make sure companies are reporting.
Yeah. 25% of value of the ground?
Yes, exactly.
That is an incentive to get your reporting right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, no question about that. Jay, have you got similar rules up in North Dakota?
Well, there was that one ethanol plant, you know, that was trying to go in by Grand Forks close to the military area there, and they shut that one down, you know. So, yeah, there's, I'm not sure of the exact rules, how they all work, but there's been, you know, Chinese trying to buy land, and they've watched over it pretty close.
Gotcha. Okay. I can't believe that we are to the break already, but here we are. We're in the middle of a farmer forum. Chad Ingles from Iowa, Jay Myers from North Dakota. We'll find out what is occupying their think time next here on AgriTalk.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
We're going abroad for the first time in years, to Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Longing for thick, healthy, gorgeous hair? Hair Volume from New Nordic is trusted by millions of women around the world. With clinically proven ingredients like apple extract, biotin, and millet, Hair Volume nourishes your hair follicles to promote thicker, healthier looking hair. Say goodbye to shedding thin and dull hair, and hello to thick, healthy hair with Hair Volume. Hair Volume is available online at Amazon, Walmart.com, NewNordicUSA.com, or at your local CVS.
Doug.
Being a spokesperson's easy, kid. Just say, customize and save with Liberty Mutual.
Customize and save with Liberty Bibberty.
That's not it.
Letter B Mutual.
Mm-mm.
Liberty Musical.
Nope.
Liberty, line.
It's two words. Liberty Mutual.
Got it. Don't not pay at LibertyMuttNoodle.com.
Wow. I guess I'll just do it.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com. That's a wrap.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliate.
Org.
T.J. Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN, is here to talk about why farmers are choosing to finance their land with FBN Finance. T.J., as farmers consider where to get their land financing, why should they consider FBN Finance?
Yeah, at FBN Finance, we're dedicated to family farmers. We've created an experience to provide farmers all the essential information they need during their land financing journey. We offer our free land evaluation tool, AcreVision, to access land insights and metrics, land loan calculator to view estimated rates and fees when you are ready to get pre-qualified, or you can use your online application to take advantage of instant approvals on qualified applications.
Okay, you just mentioned pre-qualification, instant approvals. Can you explain those and how they might benefit farmers?
Yeah, if you're starting your process, we offer pre-qualifications so you know your loan possibilities from the start. You can go into negotiations with more confidence and speed up the timeline when you are ready. We created an online application that will save you time and you can track your application's progress. Every minute counts, which is why we offer instant approvals where your land loan application could potentially be approved within minutes for land loans up to $2.5 million.
Wow, okay. Are there any other benefits that we have not mentioned?
Yeah, everything we do here at FBN Finance is to empower farmers. With over $1.5 billion in funds committed across over 2,400 farmers and counting, we make it easy and affordable for you to finance your operation with land purchases, refinances, and improvements. In addition to our real estate offerings, ask us about how new customers can get 0% on an operating loan. And right now, we are offering AgriTalk listeners $500 off your closing costs for land loans over $250,000. All you need to do is fill out our form on fbn.com/agritalk or call us directly at 833-FBN-LEND, that's L-E-N-D, to speak with a loan advisor and mention AgriTalk.
Excellent. Thank you, TJ. That is TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo Herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk
You're squawking over $20 billion. That USDA program, it's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the Farmer Forum. We've got Chad Ingles from Iowa, Jay Myers from North Dakota. Chad, I want to start with you on this one. What do you make of the changes that we talked about with Lance Honig from NASS at USDA's NASS? Specifically, I'm talking about the decision to cut July cattle report and the county crop estimates. Do you anticipate that having any impact on your year-to-year business?
Probably not, but it really surprised me, especially on the county crop estimates. I mean, the seems like we have all relied on getting an idea what those look like and forming trends over time. But I think at the same time, we have so much data already being put together. As Lance mentioned, the RMA data, if there was a way, and there should be a way, I think, to make that a little more transparent and accessible, that's probably better data in the long run that we could use. But just a matter of making it public or more public than what it is.
Yeah. It's data that I think a lot of growers got used to at least checking it out. You know what I mean, Chad?
Yep, exactly. And I just happened to look at it here recently. I helped some other farmers with manure management plans, and we rely on that data to kind of put in planning manure applications over time. Part of the rules state you can use county average yields. And so a majority of farmers, I think, at least start with the county average yields when they're putting the first manure plan together. And if we don't have a good way to go about doing that, it may be a little bit of a hindrance, but hopefully there's another data set that they supply.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and as you mentioned, hopefully the RMA data will be available to replace that, although I don't know exactly how that's going to work. I shouldn't mention that that's even a possibility. I don't know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting how it all plays out, but I think over time we probably will miss the county crop data unless they come up with a more transparent look at the RMA information.
Right, right. Okay, Jay, same question to you on the county crop data, but also missing out on the July cattle inventory report with the industry dealing with such a low inventory and searching for any sign that a herd rebuilding is starting, that I'm going to miss that report too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have looked at all those different ways of getting information and people make decisions on them But yeah. I think there's getting to be a lot more companies out there that have faster data coming out, where they're sending out surveys with text and stuff like that. Seems like that plays a role too.
Good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The trick there, and I don't know how difficult it will be, but the trick is getting on the list to participate in the survey that the private companies are doing so that you do have access to the information, right, Chad?
Yeah, definitely. I think he makes a valid point that there are a lot of private companies putting data sets together, but if you're not a member of that group or something associated with them, you might not get a chance to see their data before everybody else, or it might not be quite as public as what the USDA data is.
Right. Right. And, we joke about it, we complain about it, legitimate, official complaints, put those in place all the time about the quote unquote analysis that is done on the survey work that is compiled by NAS, because they know that the information that's coming out is only as good as the information that is coming in. Therefore, they have some metrics in place that they use to identify the bad data that is coming in. Well, on the private side of things, guys, if bad data comes in, does it make it all the way to the data coming out, the results coming out of the survey? If it does, do you even want it?
Not necessarily. I don't want some bad data expounds and you make worse decisions, and it just kind of builds on itself. So
it certainly does. Certainly does. So yeah, these are all questions that we're going to have to deal with going forward on some of the survey work. Jay, what's occupying your think time right now?
Well, we've been trying to finalize some seed decisions, whether we're going to go with what we've done in the past or change up our acres a little bit. Other years we've gone a little heavier on corn and some corn on corn, but I think this year we're going to, cut back a little bit and be more half and half corn and soybeans.
Okay. All right. What about you, Chad? Anything working on your brain?
Well, here at the Capitol, we're within about hopefully the last week or two of session. And so I'm looking out the window right now and the grass is pretty green and I want to get back home and I need to finish up some fertilizer application and get things going. So,
yep. Yep. How's the hog business treating you?
Oh, not too bad. We sell into a specialty market, and so our base price has been supported, so that's good. So.
Good. Yeah, absolutely. It's it has been really difficult in the hog industry here of late, and those the niche marketings, like you mentioned, are providing some relief there. Great job today, guys. Appreciate you. Get better, Jay, and good luck up there, buddy.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Jay Myers, North Dakota. And Chad, thanks for all you do, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, always good to talk to you. Thank you.
You bet. Chad Ingles from Iowa, a state representative there. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Andy Schisler, S&W Trading.
AGCO is proud to launch PTX, a new leading brand that combines precision ag technologies from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble. The alignment of these brands supports farmers, dealers, and OEMs globally. PTX Trimble and Precision Planting understand the challenges of farming. That's why they design solutions to help you implement technology and automation on your farm. They knew there was a better way, so they're building it together. With a combined set of products from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble, there are now precision ag technologies to touch all brands, equipment types, and farms. PTX spans the entire crop cycle, from land prep to planting, spraying to harvesting, and each pass in between. Innovative brands you trust, powerfully simple, seamlessly compatible. PTX. Visit PTXAg.com to learn more.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth, and if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS.